This is Scott Burguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, and we're going to be talking to Carolyn Cox, who's a staff scientist at NCAP, or Northwest Coalition for Alternatives to Pesticides. Good midday, Carolyn.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Well, I've gotten in touch with you because of something you sent out to me, and I hope thousands of other people, concerning the Bureau of Land Management and some possible changes in their spraying policy. Could you give us some background on that, what they're proposing to do as opposed to what they've been doing?
Sure. Their new proposal is to spray almost a million acres a year with herbicides as part of their efforts to control invasive plants on land that the agency manages. The current proposal covers basically the entire western United States. It's 17 states. But actually, Oregon is one of the most, one of the states for which there is the most spraying proposed.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what the acreage is in Oregon and the BLM, roughly?
I can look it up.
Okay. And I'm guessing that the reason that's concentrated in 17 states in the West is that there isn't much or any BLM land in the outside the western states. Is
that's correct. No. BLM has some very small acreages in the eastern half of the country, mm-hmm. but it compared to what we have here in the West, where we have states where BLM land is a significant fraction of the state.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's something mentioned here that rings a bell for me, I believe, having worked for the Forest Service for 12 years up in on the Olympic Peninsula, the vegetation treatments using herbicides, programmatic EIS, or Environmental Impact Statement, is that that is what the federal agencies have been operating under, is that correct?
They have had an Environmental Impact Statement. What they are doing is writing a new one in order to increase the acreage that will be sprayed and also increase the variety of herbicides that they have available for mm-hmm. use.
Okay, because I do remember, it seems to me it was efforts from organizations like NCAP that, and you can probably be more precise for me, back in the, maybe even the 80s, 1980s, last century, that there was an agreement based on, I would, from my opinion, abuse of pesticides and herbicides on public lands that caused them to kind of write up an agreement. Now, is that the agreement that they are trying to modify? Am
right.
I making any sense?
In the 1980s, NCAP and a number of other organizations worked very closely with two federal agencies, the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, to try to get them to reduce use of herbicides. And as a result of that effort, there were environmental impact statements that were written. There were also court-enforced agreements that were made. And all of those things now are 20 years old, basically, mm-hmm. and pretty out of date. And so what we have here is Bureau of Land Management making an attempt to update their documents. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what they haven't updated is their perspective on the use of herbicides. They continue to focus on herbicide use rather than thinking about why are these invasive plants growing here and what can we do to change those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you have basically an herbicide treadmill. The agency sprays the herbicides. It creates a nice patch of bare ground, which is then the perfect spot to grow more weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they have to spray again. And, I think the best evidence of that is in these documents that were 20 years old, spraying about 300,000 acres a year. And in this new document, they're going to triple that.
Are there any elements of this that you said it includes types of herbicides that they would like to use? Is that is there any information there that's important specifically for people to know? Are they trying to go back to some things, for example, that have been had been removed? Or?
From my perspective, the agency likes to, you know, kind of put a environmentally friendly face on this and make the point that there are newer herbicides that are more environmentally friendly than old chemicals, which, you know, many people are aware caused a variety of problems. But actually, and in fact, there will be some new herbicides on their list, but if you look at actually what they're proposing to use, the top three chemicals are three, what I would call antique herbicides that have been in use since the 1950s.
Hmm.
So, despite this, kind of veneer of exciting new environmentally friendly herbicides, really what we've got is more of the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said something about the root causes of invasive species. I know that, of course, any public land, and I mentioned my work in the Forest Service, and we had invasive species in wilderness areas that we tried to combat, usually manually. It's a labor-intensive thing. And so, in a sense, for people that pay attention to these things, I can see that as possibly a hook for folks also, because invasive species are kind of a sexy topic, at least for, again, for the probably the small group of folks who are backcountry folks and, really focus on wilderness and the woods and that kind of stuff and want to get rid of invasive species. So I wonder if they're trying to generate some support also in that direction.
Well, I think it's, really important that we all, pitch in when we can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hiking in a wilderness area and you see something that doesn't really belong there, and there's a couple of plants growing alongside the trail or mm-hmm. something like that, if you have the skills to identify them and all that, I think it's just great to pull them up
mm-hmm.
and take care of that problem before it gets any bigger.
Right.
The concern I have, with this current document is that the BLM has said over and over again that this document is just talking about herbicide use. They consider any discussion of why we have invasive plant problems to be outside of the scope of what they want to talk about. And I can't see that we're ever going to solve this problem unless we start talking about the causes. And the causes of invasive plant problems are things that are controversial topics right now.
Mm-hmm.
Invasive plants grow along roads. Invasive plants spring up when you have overgrazing. Invasive plants get carried around by off-road vehicles, and off-road vehicles churn up the soil and so forth in mm-hmm. ways that really encourage those invasive plants to grow. So until the Bureau of Land Management starts dealing with some of those issues, we're going to look at an herbicide treadmill year after year after year.
Right. So, even amateur people, amateurs who follow the occurrence of invasive species know that they thrive on disturbance. And it seems like even more than... there's obviously native species that thrive on disturbance as well in most ecosystems, but somehow the human-made disturbances tend to attract the invasive species as opposed to the native species. And I don't know why that is.
I guess, there's a lot of ongoing scientific research right now to try to answer that question. Because
mm-hmm.
people would love to know, can we predict ahead of time what species are going to become invasive and be a problem
mm-hmm.
if they get introduced here and,
right.
and that sort of thing. And it's a complex subject, and I think it'll be a while before we have all the answers. But in the meantime, I think the sense, is it's too well documented to have a, you know, a federal agency that's in charge of managing 262 million acres of land in the West say that they're not interested in talking about it.
About the causes. Yes. So what are the important things for people to focus on right now? And I know you should say more about the action you're asking listeners to take on this issue. What is that, and what would you like people to focus on?
Comments on this draft environmental impact statement are due next Monday, January 9th. They can be emailed to the Bureau of Land Management, and the address is vegeif@nv.blm.gov. And I think there's two main points to make of the BLM. One is that this proposal focuses on herbicide use and does not address what the causes of invasive plant problems are, and it's never going to succeed as long as that's the case. The second thing that we're asking people to tell the BLM is that the BLM should make a specific measurable commitment to reducing use of herbicides. And we have an email address here at NCAP, invasive@pesticide.org, and anybody who wanted to could just email me at that address, and I would email all the information about making comments.
Very good. That's invasive@pesticide.org.
Right.
Right. And the BLM address is V or C-E-G?
Okay, it's E-I-S. V, like for veg.
Veg, okay. V-E-G-E-I-S.
E-I-S for environmental impact statement. Right. And then at NV, which is nevada.blmbureauoflandmanagement.gov.
Okay. Anything else that you think is important for folks to deal with at this point? I mean, obviously, this is something that needs some quick action. Do you have any idea when they have... what's the next step for them after they receive comments?
What they have now is a draft environmental impact statement, and after they read the comments, they're supposed to respond to the comments and make changes in the draft, and then they will release the final environmental impact statement. After that, there's another step in the process, which is called the Record of Decision, where the Bureau of Land Management formally makes decision about what it's going to do. And I don't have a good idea about the timeline for all those things. Okay. Agency kind of moves at its own pace.
Yeah. Is there, are you seeing any effects here of, I know we've had concerns of the Bush administration over the last few years taking steps to try to quicken, speed up the environmental, the public input processes. Are you seeing any impacts of that here? Has this been shortened or changed in any way in terms of public involvement that you're aware of?
I guess we haven't seen, you know, big changes in what their normal process is. I think it's frustrating because this particular document covers such a huge area. Like, for example, the Bureau of Land Management's scheduled public meetings around the West to so people could make comments in person about this document. And, you know, the closest one was Portland. You don't have much opportunity for sort of personal face-to-face interaction about a document that's this huge. And so that's one reason why the email is so important.
Okay, you said that the BLM has, if I remember the number right, 260-some million acres that they manage?
Right.
Is that right? And this is looking at spraying on 1 million acres. Is that right?
Right, 1 million acres a year.
Yeah, a year, okay. And so presumably those, do they have to do anything specifically? So, for example, if their proposal for part of the 1 million acres is some chunk of land that's right here close to us in Oregon for the first year. Do we have any right ability now to give input on that specific project?
Well, this document is such a large-scale document that it doesn't give details mm-hmm. on precisely
where,
you know, the kind of thing you might be interested in. Is mm-hmm. you know, where exactly near me is there going to be spraying taking place? And so there will be other procedures that the agency goes through on the local level. And I think that's where we might see a lot more of what you're referring to, where the Bush administration has shortened mm-hmm. Just public comment periods and opportunity for public comment. And so everyone's going to have to kind of keep their eyes open
right.
And not miss these things as they come up in, you know, in local areas.
Right.
Because it's going to be hard to keep track of it.
Okay. So right now, people, we're asking folks to send comments to the BLM by January 9th.
Right.
Or, I suppose, by the end of the day on the January 9th. And
right.
then after that, keep an eye open and keep an ear to the to what's going on in terms of specific what happens with the with their EIS, their final statement, decision, and then what happens after that. Given the decision, what happens with specific projects after that.
Right, right.
Okay.
And let's give my email address again,
okay.
invasive@pesticide.org.
Okay.
And anybody who's interested in this issue is welcome to just drop me an email and I'll try to get back to you promptly.
Okay. Is there a, can you give us the NCAP phone number for folks
sure.
that may not have email and can give a call if they have questions?
344-5044.
Okay.
And my extension is 24.
Okay, and that's area code 541.
Yes. Right?
Okay. Well, excellent. Anything else that you want to share?
I just know that sometimes people are discouraged about doing things like sending comments in on a document that's this big,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, it all seems kind of futile. But I would really encourage people to take advantage of this opportunity. I think if we can change the practices of the BLM a little bit, we'll all be better off.
Well, I was just listening to an interview of Frances Moore LePay, who is, of course, Diet for a Small Planet. She's got a new book out. But one of the things she said was, perhaps it's a quote from somebody else, that it's not possible for us to know what's possible. So you just got to keep trying.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Carolyn,
sure.
for your time. And we'll try to keep track of this and maybe visit back with you when they have a decision, or it looks like they've got a decision on this particular issue.
Thank you so much.
Right, and thank you for the good work of NCAP.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I was speaking with Carolyn Cox, who is the staff scientist at NCAP, or Northwest Coalition for the Alternatives to Pesticides. Their headquarters is in Eugene, Oregon. This issue, of course, relates to all of the West and anybody who loves public lands in the West. This is Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove. Thank you for listening.